So Jesus said to those who had come to believe in him, "If you remain in my word, you are truly my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will make you free." But they answered, "We are the descendants of Abraham. We have never been slaves to anyone. So how can you say we will become free?" You see, they answered Jesus in the same way we might. I mean, we're Americans, right? We live in the land of the free. We sing songs about it. We get together and have parties and fireworks, all to celebrate our nation's freedom. But Jesus was speaking of a different kind of freedom, a freedom that can only be found in him. He answered them, "This is the truth. Everyone who chooses a life of sin isn't free. They are a slave to sin. A slave has no permanent place in the family, but a son or a daughter, they belong forever. So if the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed."
The Son sets you free, you will be free indeed. Well, one gal who experienced that freedom I want to tell you about, she told me her story is 5-6 years ago now, and it's such a great story about how freedom has come to us as Christians, and I want to share it with you this morning. Her name was Tammy, and Tammy was brought up in a Christian family. She went to church and Sunday school as a young girl. Then as she grew up, there were a few things that happened in her life that made her sort of question God. You know, at age 12, her dad suddenly died, and she said, "You know, God, why? Well, you know, he was such a loving man, a good person. Why would you take him at such a young age and at this time?" And throughout school, in her junior high and high school years, she was sort of a loner, didn't really have any friends, always by herself, struggled through school. D's and F's were the norm, and once in a while she'd obtain a C, she'd be happy with that. And then when she was 17, almost ready to graduate high school, her mother was tragically killed by a drunk driver. And not being 18 yet, she was then forced to live with some relatives who she really didn't even know cross country. They were extremely mean to her. And so she ran away from home. Age 18, there she was out on the street. No home, no money, nothing to no place of means to support herself. So she turned to prostitution. She sold herself, and she got into the drugs, casual at first, but then much heavier drugs. She had several abortions in a couple years that she lived out on the streets. And she was arrested several times. The third time she was arrested, she was put in jail. She was given a 45-day sentence, but she had to serve 30 of those days. And while she was sitting there in jail, all by herself, she got thinking, you know, I've got to turn my life around. If I don't, I'm going to end up dead. And so after she got out of prison, she got into a rehab place, got cleaned up from the drugs. She actually, and then later on, got a job and an apartment to live in. She met a nice young person named Chad, who was a Christian. And they were friends at first, and it moved on in the relationship. So then they were talking about marriage. And as they were talking about marriage, she knew what she had to do. She had not told Chad about her past, about all the things that she had done. She knew she had to tell him before they got married. How would he react? How would he take me after I tell him the things that I had done? Well, to her sort of surprise, Chad was very compassionate, open to her, and said, "It's okay. I still love you. We can still get married." And he said he suggested something, that they go to church. And during the service, there was this time of confession. Well, they went to church, and oddly enough, the message, the gospel reading for one Sunday was about the woman who was caught in adultery. And she heard Jesus say these words that sort of penetrated to her heart. "I do not condemn you." Jesus was talking to the gal caught in adultery. And she thought, well, you know what? If Jesus doesn't condemn her, maybe there's some hope. Maybe there's some forgiveness. Maybe there's some love for me as well. The following Sunday, as she was at worship, the time came for the confession, and she let it all out. She outpoured her soul to God as even tears came down her eyes as she confessed it all and laid it out there for the Lord. And then she heard those wonderful words of absolution, or the forgiveness that we have in Christ. And she was so joyful. She said later on, it was like having a big bag of rocks removed from me. I was carrying around this luggage, this heavy bag of stuff that I had done in the past, and now I felt free. I was freed from that. I could release it all. And folks, the good news is, we too have been freed. That baggage that we carried around, the sin that we have done in our life, those things that we've done wrong, has been freed by Christ. By his death, by his glorious resurrection, he has pronounced that we are free. But so what? What does it mean? We are free. Wonderful words that we hear, but really, what does it mean? What does that matter in my life? What does that mean? Christian freedom. What does that mean anyway? Well, it means so much more to us as Christians, doesn't it, than to non-Christians? Tomorrow, as we celebrate the 4th of July, we celebrate the fact that we have been freed in our nation from Mother England. We have been freed. We have declared ourselves a free nation. And it means a lot to us Americans. It means a lot to us, July 4th. But it doesn't mean a whole lot to those who are not Americans. To those who are not part of our country, July 4th doesn't make a whole lot of difference for them. You see, because we as Americans, we celebrate that freedom because of the freedom that we enjoy as a nation. We have the freedom from the old country. But if you're not an American, it doesn't make a whole lot of difference. And the same sort of is true for us as Christians. We as God's people, we know that we've sinned, and we know what the consequences of our sin is. The wages of sin is death. We know that as we've sinned, we've pulled ourselves away from our relationship with God. We've put a gap in between God and mankind. We built a bridge with our wrongdoing. And so, we know how terrible sin is. But those who are not believers, those non-Christians, it's not really that big a deal, is it? Yeah, they know they've maybe not lived a great life, but the effect of sin is not real big in their life. It doesn't necessarily matter a whole lot to them. But for us and our Christian walk, we know what sin does. We know what that forgiveness in Christ means to us. And so it means so much to us to know that that baggage, that sin has been forgiven. But you know, Christian freedom is not a license to do anything we want. And St. Paul reminds us of that in several places in Scripture. In Romans, he says, what then? Shall we just go on sinning so that we can have more and more grace abound? No, he says. And in our reading for this morning, Paul writes in Galatians 5, verse 13, he says these words. He says, you were called to be free, but do not use your freedom to indulge the sinful nature. Yeah, we've been freed in Christ. We have been forgiven. But we are not to indulge, we are not to partake again in that sinful nature, because the sinful nature is turned against God. It's not turned in toward God. Our human nature is an enemy of God. It's against God and what he wants. for us, it's turned toward evil. So we are not to indulge in the sinful nature, but rather we are to love one another. We as Americans say we have freedom to do anything we want in our country. Is that really totally true? Can I go across the way here to Safeway, load up a shopping cart, and then just walk out the door? Okay. We don't break the law. We are not free to do anything we want. And the same is true in Christianity. We want to obey the laws of God. We want to obey what He has done, said for us to do. But have you ever thought about that? Why do you obey the laws? Why do you obey God and not try and sin? Or even why do you obey the laws in the U.S.? I don't go out here on the road and speed. Not very often. Sometimes I do. But I don't want to get caught. I don't want to get pulled over, get that ticket where you have to pay a hefty fine. And it's probably a couple $100, depending on how fast you're going. It's a hefty fine. And then it goes on your record for your insurance that your rates would go up. So I don't want to speed. I don't want to break the law in order because I don't want to get caught. Well, is that for us as Christians, is that why we obey God? So we don't get caught? So we don't end up in hell? Is that why we obey God? I think not. Do we obey Him just so we can have more good things on this side and not quite so many bad things on this side, so the good outweighs the bad, and therefore we're going to end up in heaven because we've done more good than bad? No, that's not why we do good. That's not why we obey God. That's not why we try not to sin. You see, we love and obey God. Why? Because He first loved us. God reached down with His grace and His mercy, and He showed us His love for us. And because He has showed us that love for us, we then overflow with that. We can't help but want to love and serve Him. And how do we love and serve Him? It's summed up in one phrase. In our reading for this morning, it says that we love God and serve Him by loving and serving one another. That's the whole law in one phrase, loving and serving one another. Because as we love and serve one another, we are serving God. That is how we make Him pleased, because we serve one another. We are actually in reality serving Him as He has first loved us. He has made us a new creation. We are a new person now. And as that new person, we want to do away with that old sinful nature, and we want to praise and worship God, and we do that by serving one another. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, we are a new creation. The old is gone. The new has come. You're a new person. And as a new person, as a child of God, we want to serve Him. And we love Him. Why? Because He first loved us. And out of response to that love, we then love and serve Him. And we do that by serving and loving one another. Now tomorrow, the 4th of July, there's going to be a lot of different ways people celebrate. Be some fireworks, and you may light off some fireworks, or you may go and watch a fireworks show. There may be some barbecues, or maybe getting together, maybe with family or friends. However, there could be several different ways of celebrating the 4th of July. And there was, as I was thinking about this message this morning about Christian freedom, I thought about all the different avenues, all the different ways we could go in talking about Christian freedom, and how much there is inside that category called Christian freedom. I mean, we're free to worship any style we want. We can sing our contemporary songs. In the earlier service, we worship in a more traditional way.
We're free as Christians to not have to follow the dietary laws of the Old Testament as that's been fulfilled in Christ. There are so many different avenues under Christian freedom. But for me, the most important and the most vital thing about Christian freedom is that we've been freed from our sins. And Tammy reminded me of that. As she said one day after worship, she said, "You know what? I still remember my past. I'll never forget those terrible things that I did. But I'm free. I'm free. The baggage has been left at the cross." And then she said one thing that was very profound that I'll never forget. She said, "You know, if you don't feel the forgiveness, if you're still holding on to that one sin or that you're feeling guilty about one sin, imagine what you're saying to Jesus. You're pretty much, in a sense, saying to Jesus, 'You know what? Your sacrifice for me wasn't enough because I don't feel forgiven.' The sacrifice was enough. His sacrifice on the cross was all that we need. Our sin, that one sin that is still tagging on your belt strand that you bring along everywhere you go and it's nudging at your heart, can be removed because Jesus, his sacrifice, is complete. The Son has set us free. We are free indeed. Thanks be to God. Amen." Please rise as we pray together. Oh, gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for not only the freedoms that we enjoy as a nation, as a country, but Lord, we thank you for that freedom that you've given to us, freeing us from our sin. Your sacrifice was complete, total. That sacrifice on the cross for us. We have the total forgiveness in you, our Savior. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.